Welcome to another episode of the Ramswire Podcast. I'm Cameron DeSilva. You can follow me on Twitter at CamDeSilva, and you can follow the Ramswire on Twitter at the Ramswire. Be sure to check out all our content at theramswire.usatoday.com as we head into this NFC Championship game against the New Orleans Saints. We've got plenty to talk about this week, coming off the win over the Dallas Cowboys. Won that game 30-22, moved on to the NFC title game against the Saints. Of course, New Orleans beat the Eagles on Sunday. Alshon Jeffrey's drop on the final drive essentially sealed it for the Saints, moving them on to the NFC Championship game against the Rams. We'll recap the Rams' win over the Cowboys, talk about this preview against the New Orleans Saints, and talk about how the Rams can make some changes from last time in Week 9 when they did lose to the Saints 45-35 at the Superdome. So we've got a rematch. This is the third time the Rams have faced or are going to be facing the Saints this season. They play them in the regular season, and they also play them in the preseason. So we'll take a look at what they can do differently this time around to hopefully come away with a win. But let's get started with the Cowboys recap. The Rams did win that game 30-22. The biggest question going into that matchup was whether they could stop the run and shut down Ezekiel Elliott. And obviously, there's no question about that anymore. They held Zeke to 47 yards on 20 carries, the third lowest output of his career. Really, it was one of his worst games ever in the NFL. And it's really surprising to see that come against a defense that ranked last in the NFL in yards allowed per carry this season. So no one really expected the Rams to shut down the run the way that they did. But when you look at the numbers, they loaded the box against Zeke 40% of the time compared to 6% of the time by the Cowboys against Gurley. So you begin to see how each defense approached the opposing team's running game. And it really showed in the stat column. The Rams rushed for 273 yards with C.J. Anderson and Todd Gurley. The Cowboys only had 50 yards between Dak and Zeke. So a really good job by Wade Phillips and his defense. Dominican Sue stepped up. Corey Littleton and Mark Barron had really strong performances. Aaron Donald, although he didn't get a sack and he didn't stuff the stat sheet like you would expect him to. He did have a strong game. He had good penetration, was getting pressure on Dak, and really it was a complete team effort for stopping the run against Zeke. One thing that is getting a lot of attention is the play of Todd Gurley and C.J. Anderson. They really had strong performances, of course, and there's no question about how important they were to the offense and really to the game as a whole. You saw C.J. Anderson rush for 123 yards, two touchdowns. Gurley had 115 yards and that 35-yard touchdown. Just an all-around great performance from the running game. But what we don't talk about enough is the play of the offensive line. Between Andrew Whitworth, John Sullivan, Austin Blythe, all those guys up front really had phenomenal performances. Jared Goff was only pressured once. There was huge running lanes for the running backs to go through. It was a physically dominant performance by the offensive line. And Jerry Jones is talking about how the Cowboys couldn't, they never settled in and couldn't get their footing defensively against that offensive line because of the traction and the field conditions at the Coliseum. But I mean, the Rams were playing against on that same field. They were facing the same conditions, and they stopped Zeke dead in his tracks for 47 yards. So I don't really see that as an excuse. If they were having traction issues, they should have switched up their cleats. You can't really make that excuse. So that's not to take anything away from the offensive line. They did an outstanding job. They showed great effort. We saw a tweet shared by Sosa on Twitter from Tershow Times showing Andrew Whitworth in the offensive line running down the field full speed after Greg Zuerlein's field goal attempt at the end of the first half, just showing relentless effort on the field. Even on a meaningless play like a field goal attempt, they wanted to make sure that the Cowboys didn't return it for a touchdown in a huge play. So everyone's bought into this Sean McVay, we not me culture and approach to the game, and it's great to see. And it really shows on the offensive line. There was nothing the Cowboys could do to stop the running game. CJ Anderson's longest run was only 15 yards, and yet he had 123 yards on the ground. So that just shows how often he ripped off 5, 6, 7 yard runs against this defense, and it got better as the game went on. So the offensive line played admirably. If they continue to play that way against the Saints this weekend, it's going to be difficult for New Orleans to beat them. But really, that was the biggest, I would say the biggest difference in the game was the play of the Rams offensive line versus that Cowboys defensive front, which has been really good this season. Leighton Vander Esch didn't have a great game. Jalen Smith was washed out. DeMarcus Lawrence didn't get any pressure on Jared Goff. So really those guys deserve a lot of credit, not just the job that CJ Anderson and Todd Gurley did, because those running lanes were pretty big. So credit to the offensive line for moving those guys up front. On the other side of the ball, Dominican Sue had arguably his best game as a member of the Rams. Again, he didn't have a sack, but he was applying pressure. He was clogging up running lanes up the middle. He was at the center of that fourth down run by Ezekiel Elliott. He got stopped at the line of scrimmage on fourth and one when the Cowboys were driving down the field and potentially going to tie the game at 23. Sue was up against Joe Looney. He closed up the hole, waited for his reinforcements to come. LaMarcus Joyner was there. Aaron Donald was there. Everyone swarmed to the football and really made the biggest stop of the game. And it proved to almost be the difference, because the Cowboys had momentum. And until that fourth down failure, it looked like they might have come back and won that game. But credit to Sue for doing a good job, not only getting off of blocks, but simply just closing up running lanes so Zeke couldn't see where the hole was. That's what they expected to get out of Sue when they signed him this offseason, and it really helped them in this game, really the biggest game of the season for them. So good job by him. Good job by Michael Brockers, also up front, and Aaron Donald as well. Strong performance from the defensive front. In the secondary, Aqib Talib coming back and being in that in the Rams' defensive backfield, that's huge. He provided great coverage against Amari Cooper. The same can't really be said about Marcus Peters, who got into it with Cooper both on the field and after the game. Tempers flared a little bit there, so he needs to kind of remain focused on the task at hand and not let these personal spats get in the way. But Talib was instrumental, played really good coverage, coming up and making tackles on short passes, covering downfield. He was a really big part of this defense playing as well as it did. And really, again, I said it about Sue and I'll say it again about Talib. This is why they brought him in for games like this. His experience, his leadership, and the way that he plays in the secondary. He's a physical corner. He doesn't often let receivers get by him for big gains after the catch. So that was a big part of this game against an elusive receiver like Amari Cooper, against a Cole Beasley. Good job by him, keeping everything in front of him and not allowing any big plays over the top, really. So he was a big acquisition for the Rams this offseason. And even though he missed 8 games, he came back. And at the end of the season, he's been playing well. And it's a big reason why the secondary is playing as strongly as it is for the Rams right now. I broke down 4 of the biggest plays in that game in a post on the Rams Wire. You can check it out. But I talked about the 4 biggest plays in that game, and 2 of them were really essentially calls by Sean McVay. It was that 11-yard run on 3rd and 7 on the Rams' final drive of the game. The Cowboys had 2 timeouts. It was coming out of the 2-minute warning. And Goff rolled out to his right, saw no one open, and decided to keep it, ran for the first down, and essentially clinched the game. The Rams would obviously get another first down after that, but that run was the biggest difference in the game, because had he not picked it up, the Cowboys would have called a timeout and gotten the ball back with just under 2 minutes to play, trailing by 8, And they would have had a really good chance to come back and tie that game against the Rams. So that play by Jared Goff, that gutsy call by Sean McVay to even give him the option to throw the ball, it put him in a good position because he was rolling out to his right, cut the field in half, and Jeff Heath got washed down in the play action fake, essentially opening up an entire half of the field for Goff to run, and there was really nobody near him. So a good call there. And then the other play was that fourth down touchdown by C.J. Anderson. The Rams, at the time, they were up by 8 points, and they could have kicked the field goal with about 7 minutes to play, made it an 11-point game, two possessions. At that point, you kind of figure that the Cowboys aren't going to have much of a chance to come back and win, but obviously they did. They scored a touchdown with just over 2 minutes to play, and had the defense gotten a stop, they would have gotten the ball back. So fourth and one from the one-yard line, McVay calls for a run to C.J. Anderson, not the NFL's touchdown leader in Todd Gurley. Anderson takes it, punches it up the middle, gets into the end zone, gives them a 15-point lead. That proved to mostly be the difference in the game, and it's a testament to how aggressive Sean McVay is with this offense. He's not afraid of any defense. He talks about it all the time, not to play afraid and not to really you got to be aggressive in games like this, and he talks about how you can't play scared, and really it's worked out almost every time for him. Whether it was that fourth down call against the Seahawks earlier this season that clinched the win, or this one at the goal line, his aggressiveness has paid off this year. So I expect to see some more of that heading into this Saints game, which we'll talk about now. There's a lot of discussion about the last time these teams played. Saints won 45-35 in Week 9. It was the Rams' first loss of the season. They also beat the Rams 28-0. In the preseason, some people were kind of angry about the way that Sean Payton appeared to run up the score in that one. It's the preseason, it's not a big deal. But that was a lopsided victory for the Saints, and obviously it was closer in the regular season with the points differential being just 10 points. But the Saints did look like the better team in that regular season victory. They jumped out to an early lead. I believe they were up 35-14 at one point. Then the Rams ripped off 21 consecutive points to tie it up at 35. And then the Saints pulled away with that 72-yard touchdown to Michael Thomas with Marcus Peters in coverage. Wade Phillips admitted blame for that. He fell on the sword for Peters in that play, saying it was the wrong time to put him in man coverage against a guy like Thomas. But no matter how you cut it, it was a disappointing loss for the Rams, ending that 8-game winning streak. But fortunately for them, this is the game that counts most. You're not going to look back at that Week 9 game and be upset that you lost it, because now you have a chance to move on to the Super Bowl with a win over the Saints this time. A lot has changed since that Week 9 game, both on the roster and on each roster, really. You got Sheldon Rankins, who tore his Achilles against the Eagles last week. That's a big blow for the Saints. He's arguably their second or third best defender next to Cam Jordan. Marshawn Lattimore is up there. So they're not going to have him in this game. He's a really athletic defensive tackle. I wouldn't say he's Aaron Donald, but he's in that next tier of interior defenders when it comes to both stopping the run and against the pass. You see him drop into coverage and make pass deflections. You see him rush the passer. And there was a play where he chased down Ezekiel Elliott on kind of a delayed outside zone run, and he chased him down along the sideline almost and stopped him for no gain. Those aren't plays you often see from defensive tackles, but the Saints are going to be without him this week, which is a big blow for them and a big opportunity for the Rams. They're going to have John Sullivan's life is going to be easier. Same with Roger Saffold at left guard. Running lane should be fairly larger without Rankins plugging up the middle. So that's a big loss for the Saints, and the Rams have to capitalize, especially with this ground and pound attack that they have now. On the Rams side, they are getting Aqib Talib back, who was not on the field for that Week 9 loss. The secondary is significantly better by just about any stat you look at. You'd be hard-pressed to find some numbers that show they're worse with Talib on the field because they just don't exist. When he's healthy, the secondary plays far, far better, both as a team. Marcus Peters steps up his game. No matter how you cut it, when Aqib Talib is on the field, that defense is so much better. So just having him back in this one is going to be a big difference when it comes to stopping the Saints offense and specifically Michael Thomas. So that's a big help for the Rams, and it could play a big role when it comes to slowing down the Saints offense. Unfortunately, they did have Cooper Kupp in that Week 9 game. They're not going to have him this week, obviously, after he tore his ACL against the Seahawks. That's a significant blow. He had a pretty strong performance. He had a touchdown against the Saints in that Week 9 game. He also caught 5 passes for 89 yards, including a 41-yarder. So that's going to hurt the offense quite a bit because as good as Josh Reynolds has been this season, in his second year, he's had a good year filling in for Kupp, but he's just not as good of a player as Cooper Kupp is. He plays a different role, typically lines up outside, which pushes Robert Woods into the slot. So the offense does change pretty significantly in that regard. So not having Kupp in this one is going to hurt the Rams a little bit, especially with PJ Williams playing that slot. That's a difficult matchup for Robert Woods, who has pretty much been Jared Goff's favorite receiver all season without Kupp there. For the Saints, they're also getting back Ted Ginn, who was on IR, like Talib, for that Week 9 game. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be on the field. That brings an added element of speed to the Saints' offense. He can really take the top off of a defense. He can turn short passes into big gains. So the Rams' defense is going to have to be on its toes when it comes to Ted Ginn being targeted or simply getting these end-arounds or screen passes. He's a fast receiver, and that's I wouldn't say he's Tyreek Hill, of course, but he's a guy who puts pressure on the opposing defense with his speed and with his ability to score from essentially anywhere on the field. And then one of the biggest differences in this one versus that regular season game is the arrival of C.J. Anderson. That's pretty wild to think about considering where he was at that point in the season. He was released by the Broncos this offseason, released by the Panthers, waived by the Raiders. So he's been cut by 3 teams this year alone, finally landing with the Rams. Now he's a big part of the offense. He has 3 straight 100-yard games. He had 2 touchdowns against the Cowboys, 123 yards, and he was a big part of that offense attempting 48 runs, which was a season high. So the offense seems to have changed its philosophy with Anderson on the field and in the mix. Even though Gurley did get more snaps in that game against the Cowboys, it was Anderson who got more touches and a larger share of when he was on the field. He got touches more often than Gurley did when he was on the field. So it seems the Rams are going to probably lean pretty heavily on him again, really flex their muscle and be a physical offense moving downhill rather than typically throwing the ball more than it would like. In that game in Week 9, Jared Goff threw the ball 40 times. Todd Gurley only had 13 carries for 68 yards. Of course, a big reason for that is the fact that the Rams fell behind 35-14. But even after they tied up the game, there wasn't a huge effort to run the ball and impose their will in that regard. So I think you'll see more C.J. Anderson, more Todd Gurley in this matchup, which hopefully will bode well for the offense. Defensively, they're going to have their hands full with Michael Thomas. Last time around, he had 12 catches, 211 yards, and a touchdown. Of course, that touchdown was a 72-yarder with Peters in coverage. And it was just a rough game for Marcus Peters that entire day. Granted, he wasn't always in coverage for all of those 12 catches, but the Rams played a lot of zone, a lot of off coverage where they allowed receivers to make catches underneath and then rallied to the ball and tried to make tackles. That didn't work. He had 211 yards, and if he does that again this week, the Rams are probably going to lose that game. He's elusive with the ball in his hands. He has strong hands, and he's going to make contested catches no matter who's on him. So a big point of emphasis this week has to be getting Marcus Peters off of him and putting Aqib Talib in his coverage more often. Talib is just simply the better corner right now. He matches up better with Michael Thomas's skill set, and they're going to have to be more physical at the line of scrimmage against Thomas this time. There were instances where Peters tried to play up against the line against Thomas. He was beat off the line fairly easily by Thomas's footwork, whether it was a quick out route, whether it was one of those whip routes where he cuts inside and breaks back outside. No matter what it was, Peters had a tough time really hanging in coverage against Thomas, and the Rams can't afford to have that happen. This season, they haven't shadowed Talib on anyone. In that game, they did have Peters on Thomas for the majority of the game, but this might be an opportunity for Wade Phillips to say, hey, Marcus Peters is not playing as well. Let's go ahead and try Talib on Thomas for, if not the entire game, at least the majority of the time, and see how it goes. When you're playing sides and you're keeping your cornerbacks on opposite sides of the field, the offense can pick its poison and really attack either one that it wants. Sean Payton can put Michael Thomas as that X receiver on the left side the entire game if he wants, if Peters is over there. That doesn't bode well for the Rams, which might lead Phillips to, I don't know, shift his cornerbacks a little bit, maybe put Talib on Thomas for the first half and see how it goes. I don't know that they're going to do that, but it would at least be an opportunity or a discussion that I would have with the defensive coaches, with Talib and Peters, see how they feel about it. Obviously, it goes against what they've been doing for most of the season, but Thomas is a different type of receiver, and he can't be treated like your average number one wideout. He obviously gets the most targets and most attention from Drew Brees, and he's going to attack him consistently and throw the ball his way at least 10 to 15 times in this one. So you got to limit the opportunities that he gets. Then there's the conversation of Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. Those are two of the best running backs, one of the best running back tandems in the league right now. I would say Kamara is one of the better running backs in the NFL. He's shifty. He's a good receiver. He does run with good power despite his smaller size. So it's not as if you can just go with a dime or dollar defense against him and just plan to stop the run easily. You're going to need linebackers on the field to stop him. Maybe the Rams go with Marcus Joyner shadowing Kamara when he's on the field. The Cowboys did that with Jordan Lewis in their win over the Saints earlier this season. Seemed to work out pretty well. I don't know that Joyner can provide that good of coverage against Kamara, but it's at least worth looking at and talking about whether that could be a good approach. Kamara did catch a touchdown pass against Joyner in that Week 9 game, but you can't just leave a linebacker on an island with Kamara running routes. It's not going to end well, and Drew Brees is going to pick that apart all game long. And then with Ingram, he has a more physical style of running. He's going to be tougher to bring down on first contact, so that's going to come down to Mark Barron and Corey Littleton really stepping up and playing physical, not being out of their gaps, and staying disciplined on defense where they're not going to allow big runs up the middle like they did earlier this season, both against the Saints and against several other teams. Tackling, leading into that, the tackling is going to be a major emphasis. Kamara and Thomas both rank among the league leaders in yards after the catch. They're two of the toughest guys to bring down in the open field with the ball in their hands. So that's going to be a big talking point for Wade Phillips this week. They can't afford to miss tackles in the open field. They can't afford to let these guys gain valuable yardage after the catch, especially on third down. You know that the Rams or the Saints are going to throw the ball fairly quickly. You know that they're going to that Drew Brees is going to want to get the ball out of his hands at the top of his drop. When the receivers do get the ball in their hands, you have to rally to it and make tackles immediately. You can't allow them to gain 10, 15 yards after the catch and pick up these first downs because it's deflating for a defense. Brees gets rid of the ball faster than all but four quarterbacks in the league. He had the fourth quickest time to throw in the NFL this season. That means the secondary is going to have to either press or just provide good coverage on the receivers to kind of slow down his rhythm, throw off the rhythm a little bit, the timing between the quarterback and receiver, and allow the pass rush to get there. Against Brees, he was sacked the second fewest times in the NFL this year, so you know that his quick release is not going to allow the pass rush to get there fairly often. The Rams didn't get a single sack on him in Week 9, and I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't get one this week either. It's going to come down to Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue, hopefully getting some of those quick sacks that we've seen this season. Donald has one of the best first steps in the league, and he's going to need to take advantage of that and get to Brees fairly quickly, because otherwise he's going to get rid of the ball. You're not going to have any time to rush the quarterback, and it's going to cause some fatigue and frustration on the part of the defense. Maybe you go to press coverage. Maybe you just you line up your guys at the line of scrimmage a little bit closer to the receivers rather than playing off coverage. Whatever it is, you have to make Brees hold the ball a little bit longer than he typically does and than he did in Week 9. So that's going to be something that the Rams have to look at and hopefully make adjustments from last season. And then one last talking point from this game is the fact that Bill Vinovich and his crew are going to be calling the game as the referee. That's not good news for the Rams. They're 0-8 with Bill Vinovich as the referee all time. They're 0-2 this season. Their losses with him as the referee came against the Saints and the Eagles. Obviously, there was that Johnny Hecker fake field goal call where he missed the spot, and it was just it was really unfavorable for the Rams, and it flipped the momentum, and it should have been a first down. So that's something that a lot of fans are talking about. One fan even went as far as to start a petition to get Vinovich off of this game and get someone else doing it. Obviously, it's not going to happen. The NFL is not going to change it just because some fans started a petition. But it is funny, and it is pretty notable that they are 0-8. So that's something that a lot of fans are going to be talking about. The Rams aren't going to talk about it. When they played earlier this season, there were hardly any fouls. Obviously, that Johnny Hecker missed call was not a good one for the Rams. But this crew, I would expect them to let these guys play and let the players determine the outcome and hopefully not get in the way of what should be a really good game. So that's all we got for today. We'll talk to you guys hopefully after a Rams win next week, ahead of a possible Super Bowl matchup with the Chiefs or the Patriots. In the meantime, go follow me on Twitter at Cam DeSilva. You can have conversations with me, send me any ideas, any thoughts on the game, and then follow us on Twitter at The Rams Wire. We'll have all of our content. We got plenty of stuff posted at theramswire.usatoday.com. Be sure to check that out, and we'll talk to you guys next week.